You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
He's gonna take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything. You know
what can I say? Hi again, everybody. It is time for the Bob Ryan and Gary Tankley, Zoom and Todd. And we are brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. The NFL season wrapping up, looking ahead to the playoffs. And this is time to get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. All right, Bob, let's get to it. We're going to start with the Memphis Grizzlies. And such a disappointment, first of all, that Ja Morant is done for the season. Yeah. What do you think his future is?
Well, he's still young, obviously, and his talent is unlimited. His ceiling is very high. He'll bounce back, I think. I like to think he had learned something from his suspension and the reason for it, and he's growing and maturing. I'd like to think. I can't verify that, but he came back with his skills intact, and now he gets hurt. So, I mean, I was just thinking as we were preparing, what a disastrous, like, 18 months, or, you know, the kid was right in the top of the world. He was young. Everything was going his way. The team was improving. They were in the, I mean, they weren't going to win a championship, but they were a playoff level team. And with Jackson Jr. is really good, and Damon Bane, who had 32 last night,
right,
is really good. And and the coach, I think, is respected, and they're good. And so future, he's still young enough to bounce completely back. That's all I can say.
And then you had Marcus, and he got hurt last night, and Marcus was feeling it.
Having another game. Marcus had 23 in 21 minutes when he got hurt. He made four threes again. Now, we know how streaky he is on threes.
Yes, we do.
But this is the guy. This is a really useful player when he's combining all the night in, night out defense and unpredictable stuff that he does and that disrupts teams with legitimate offense. And so, but their season is just blown up in their face now without.
Well, it's too bad, because I look at Memphis as one of those teams I want to watch. You're right. They're not going to win the title. And I think as the season progresses, you're looking at the Celtics, you're looking at Denver. You like Philly. I still think it's an outside shot, but you never know. Yeah. But I look in Milwaukee. I don't think OKC is there yet. I think that, you know, but I think there's really three teams that could win it, in my opinion, at this time. But there's a ton of teams you want to watch, and Memphis was one of those teams. Now, maybe without Morant for the rest of the season, you want to see Marcus if the finger's okay. You want to see Bane. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of young players in the league. San Antonio is worth watching. You know, OKC is certainly worth watching. You know,
OKC, Orlando. I like Orlando.
Those teams. WWs worth watching.
And Sacramento.
Let's talk about them. I know you want Sabonis.
Sabonis. I'm such a suck up to Sabonis, the whole family.
Well, let me run the stats. 37 points, 13 assists, 10 rebounds. The Kings were down by 20 in the first quarter. Then they led by 15 in the third. The Pistons have this problem, right? Because that's what happened with the Celtics. The Celtics were down by a
21.
Bunch.
Yeah.
You know, so this happens to the Pistons all the time.
this game, I mean, that we know that the NBA can be a game of runs. People say it all the time, but this is to the ultimate extreme. If any, I mean, just got to go out there. They were down 20 in the first. They're up 15 in the third, the Kings. And there's a 35-point swing. They lost the lead completely, and they wound up winning by 21.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to Ralph Crampton here. What do you say? my guy Sabonis, I just totally love his game. But the first time I ever laid eyes on him in a Gonzaga uniform on television, I said, oh, my God, the kid can play. And, of course, Daddy was one of the greatest clinicians ever at the position. And of course, I keep reminding people, we never saw the best of Arvydas Sabonis because by the time he had several injuries and a couple of vats of vodka away ago when he got over here. But he could play this game, and the kid is wonderful. So anyway, Sacramento's got they got Fox, they got Monk, you know, they got people that. They're a fun team to watch.
Well, Bob, I mean, if you're a true basketball fan, right? If you're a true basketball fan, you have to love the European game and what they bring. And we've seen it with the. I mean, you mentioned the other day. I think you and Jeff were taking. If you had the international all stars against the states, you know,
I'll give you a sneak. Stay tuned. You might be reading something about that in the near future. I'll just.
Really? Is that a little preview to the old Globe?
Wink, wink. Okay.
Yes, wink, wink.
Keep your eyes open. You might see something about that in the near future somewhere in a publication near you.
The NFL season is wrapping up, and there's still time to get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. Now, the app is so easy to use, and there are so many different ways to bet, like live same-game parlays. Find bets in the new Explore tab. Make a parlay in the Parlay Hub, the best way to find popular parlays. And more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make your first bet a layup. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, Kentucky, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Or text next step to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit GamblingHelplineMA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
So some notes on the Celtics here, and it's the Celtics. It's very hard, and believe me, we've tried to find criticisms or faux pas or flaws, you know, like what do they need to work on? And it's, you know, we've talked about maybe they make a deal in a month, you know, February, the beginning of February, maybe they do, maybe they don't, you know, we'd still like to see him get a big man. But, you know, I want to talk about Porzingis and his comments on Drew Holiday. He said, quote, "He deserves the most credit. He has sacrificed the most." And I think for those of us who didn't see Drew Holiday play every day with Milwaukee when they won the championship, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was basically the freak then Holiday, right?
Yes.
Okay, now it's Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, White, then Holiday. And this guy has no problem with it.
No, really, he is the fifth thought many nights for all of us and the fans. And obviously, this is a very interesting observation from an insider, a teammate.
Right.
I arched an eyebrow when I read it this morning, and not in disapproval or dismay, just, oh, man, that's a pretty strong endorsement, because I think, you know, Porzingis is a very stable, you know, very sound-thinking young man. Yeah, that was really impressive, really impressive. I have to tell you, Garrett, he kind of flew under the radar for me from the beginning. You know, that he was, I knew he was a good player. I remember at UCLA, you know, and all that. And the brothers, you know, the Holiday brothers and all that stuff. And I didn't appreciate how good he really was in Milwaukee, even last year. And then when, but then I started, people, I went reading more and more praise about how good he is. And he fell, and, you know, this is the ultimate, fell out of the sky. If ever, in all the Celtic history of transactions, you know, there have been lucky things like Don Nelson, you know, for $1,000, you know, okay, a waiver wire, whatever it was. It may have been $100.
Scotty Wedman?
They got Wedman. I don't even remember what they had to give up or whatever. I don't even know if it was a free agent. I don't know. But the idea, the only reason that he is in a Celtic uniform is because Damian Willard held his breath until he turned blue and got himself out of Portland. This only reason that the Celtics were in any position, or anybody was in any position to get him. And boy, it's the luckiest break of that type in franchise history. They can't take credit for it. He fell out of the sky. All right, so we have him. And aren't we happy to have him? And you know, this team has really got some, I mean, stable individuals. Let's face it, you know, White.
Oh, very mature.
And of course, Al. And you know, Jaylen Brown, who, and we know his future isn't in basketball. You know, when he's done, he's going to go save the world, you know, somehow, some way.
Oh, sure. No doubt.
I mean, you know, so yeah, anyway, it must be a real relief and pleasure to coach them, to not have to deal with drama.
Oh, you know? Missoula must be like, I've died and gone to heaven.
I mean, there must be guys around the league looking at him and saying, that lucky son of a bitch. He doesn't have the problem I got with in my locker room. Now, maybe we're naive and we don't know what's really going on, but I think it's a very safe observation. So, that they've got all kinds of adults in the room.
we've talked about how Joe has the second season under his belt now. He's more comfortable, but he's just got better players to work with.
Yeah.
The players don't work for him. They work with him. People have spoken about, he's spoken about how he sits down with a player and he asks them. He sits down and he'll talk to a – okay, I mean, Red did that. I mean, Bob, you could talk about that. The best coaches ask the players. You know, Russ, what do you think?
Of course,
you know,
the greatest Missoula example.
Missoula sits down with Holiday and says, okay, what do you think?
Yeah. What do you think? No, it's really true. It's really very good.
Do you have a Red story about that? Like maybe –
Well, I think more about Russell – when he coached, of course, he was a player coach, which means he needed to have help. And this is before they had assistants. Remember, in the Bill Russell era, and when he coached, and anybody who was a player coach, there had been a couple of others. Your support group were your veterans and your trainer. I think Joe. I think that Buddy Wu and Joe DeLorean, they kept track of the fouls. Russ. Bailey's got three, you know. Oh, thanks. Okay, you know. Seriously. And we know that when in that late stage in their era, late 60s, that supposedly the de facto offensive coordinator was Larry Siegfried, but anybody could make a suggestion. Now Russell didn't need any help on the defense. We know that, but offensive, he was willing to tell me what you think. What do you think of the play? You think we can do a better play? That's the way that was. No, Red was a smart people person. Red was, you know, Red, of course, he was a tactician, but we all know he had the famous seven basic plays and options. And in his ideal world of basketball, you'd never run a play. You'd fast break all night long. Every single play would be transition in his ideal, you know, world. But he was about people and how he handled them and he didn't like that word and how he worked with them. you know, and he treated and he reacted and responded to Russell one way, and Heinsohn another way, and Sharman another way, Cousy another way, you know, and Havlicek on and on. That was Red's great genius.
Mazzulla's doing the same thing. And if you look at all the great coaches, Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach.
Jackson's
the same way.
Handing out the books.
Right. I mean, you know, the triangle offense. Thanks, Tex. Okay, that's
thanks,
great.
Thanks, Tex.
Yeah, now how do I handle all of this? And I think, who's the quote I was reading? Oh, Vince Lombardi. They had that in the Globe the other day. You know, the old Vince Lombardi, like, it's not about the X's and O's, man. It's about how you handle the handle. Right. You didn't like that word. It's about how you relate to the players and the people. And even the Packers, had five plays?
Well, that power play that
off tackle right, hot.
Yeah, whatever.
You know,
and then Bart would throw about 12 passes a game. Yeah. You know, maybe. You know,
we know what's coming. Stop it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, student body right. They said at SC. Remember that?
Yeah, student body right. So let's stop it. Let's go.
But anyway. So Joe has a great – Joe Mazzulla's got a nice situation there. The envy of the league. But I'll say we're talking about teams to watch, right? And the team they just played gives them a hard time, Indiana, now they as a rule. They got a guy in the team that is I'm glad that there's a play room in the league for somebody like this, T.J. O'Connell.
Yeah.
He messes around. He gets in your way. He bothers you. This is what Brunson was kind of like, I thought, but this guy even more so. You know, I love it that there's, you know, there's a role, there's a place for somebody like that. To a degree, now he's not he's scrappy. Our guy Richard, you know, has nights when he sneaks in for offensive rebounds. And how'd he get that? You know, and he'll go on the floor. And of course, you know, his raison d'etre is to make threes. We know that, but he can do more than that.
Right.
So it's going to he's going to have a long shelf life, you know, in the league. I mean, he won't be a Celtic lifer, but he'll be in the league. He'll have a nice career. I'm glad guys like that. There's still room for him now. Good.
You know, I think in that second Indiana game, like Jalen had 40. You know, Tatum gets some rest, and Joe has said that's what he's going to do. And, you know, they still almost won the game. I mean, there's some questionable calls at the end.
Oh, right? Well, let's get to that.
Okay, well, yeah, let's get to that. But you tell me how you want to answer this, because I wrote all of this down. On those calls, like the Porzingis call, they said should have been a non-call, I believe. And that ended up going to the foul line and winning the game. So we'll get to that. But after the game, you get – the NBA releases the final 2 minutes and critiques the ref, right?
Yes. So
they admit that they got all the calls. They admit what they got right and what they got wrong. I don't like that. I don't like that.
Thank you. I don't get the point for public consumption. I think there should be an internal review. They want to keep track. You know, they want to review the refs. They want to monitor them. They you know, you want to, and if there's a learning tool that they can use to you know, try to help referees make better decisions, you know, in the future, or find out, you know, who screws up and who doesn't, that's fine. They should be able to do that. But releasing it to the public and for the teams to stew on it. So what good is it going to do?
None.
Joe Mazzulla,
none.
Right now.
None.
Or tomorrow morning or the day after. Or what good's it going to do them? None. They lost the game. They blew the call somewhere down the road. They'll be the beneficiary of it. You know it. That's the way it is. And they'll get the call. And it probably already had a couple we haven't even thought about. You know, the point?
I agree. And when I read it, you know, and the three plays in the game was the Porzingis shouldn't have been called for a foul. Heels block on Brown. Some people, you know, they said that was clean because it was incidental contact on the top of the head. Then Miles Turner should have been called for an illegal screen. My God, I'm sitting here and I'm reading this and I'm like, we're going to second guess an illegal screen. I mean, for God's sakes, I'm with you, Bob. I mean, it takes the power away from the play. It takes the power away from the ref. It hurts your credibility. And you know what I say to the Celtics? You know, score more points. You're so damn good right now. I mean, if you're going to sit there and bitch about one call, I mean, you didn't have your guy, but their guy, Halliburton, got hurt. It's a hell of a game, and it came down to the end. But it's I hate it. I hate it.
When I first started doing it, I said, what is this? Oh. And it's, I don't know, it's only about how many, it's a few years old, right? 2 or 3 years old, maybe they've been doing this.
Screens. We're breaking down screens. Oh, forget it.
I remember I used to rail 50 years ago, literally, about Willis Reed. I thought he said a lot of illegal screens, but that's okay. I was young and impassionate and impressionable.
Yeah, well, that's all right. But I would never go against a Hall of Famer there. But I was just like, so what did you think overall? So last night with the game, I mean, do you sit there and you look, okay, well, it was a bad call on Porzingis. That's why they lost the game.
No, you try to remember that there's so many things. You shouldn't be in that position kind of thing, you know. That's right. The thing I learned a long time ago when I realized, you know, when you see bad calls at the end and you say, well, but you put your, if you put yourself in a position you shouldn't have been in, you know, then you don't have a right to complain. That's the way I look at it. But there are times when, you know, it's really egregious and you know, it's going to happen. They're human beings. They're going to blow calls, and you just hope that they're not in the seventh, you know, the final minute of the game seven of the playoffs, that they have to, you know, that they have to make those kind of decisions. But no, I used to be more passionate about it, but that was a long time ago. You know, I've seen too much, and I understand, I think, the reality of the situation. But my rule of thumb, did you put yourself in a position that you didn't need to be in? If you did, then, you know, sorry.
Right. I'm with you.
No. Yeah.
I want to go back. Can I go back to Holiday? He talked about Mazzulla using him in the middle of a 2-1-2.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So let's break that down, because he communicates with the people in front of him and the people in back of him communicate with him. To me, he's kind of like a free safety, right? Where he's usually on the ball.
Yeah, no. Well, I think you want a guy that's got great instincts in that regard. And, you know, 2-1-2, funny, the two most prevalent high school zones are 2-3 and 2-1-2. And I always thought that 2-1-2, you would have a bigger guy than him, you know.
Right.
In the middle of that. Yeah, you'd want a bigger guy. So that intrigued, that got my attention right away, because I said, wow, you know, usually, I mean, the 2-1-2, the guy, the one might be your biggest man. And at times, depending on his agility, you know, and his lateral mobility, but interesting that, you know, it would, you know, in other words, you thought it might be Porzingis in the 2-1-2, and the back guys would be Tatum and Brown or whoever's on the floor, Al and him. No, anyway, interesting. I'm going to keep an eye out for this now, you know, because I have to say one thing that I don't keep an eye out for very often is switching defenses in the NBA. You know, you see it in college every night. That's different. But, you know, the fact that you can use zones, and zones have been a problem for the Celtics. It'd be nice. Wouldn't it be interesting if it turns out to be an asset? Because it has not been since the rule was instituted that right. I can say that they've never made use of the zone, and they've been hurt by the zones. And so this is interesting. I like this. I mean, something else to focus on.
What do you think of White and Holiday as a defensive backcourt?
I don't know who's better. On paper, what I have to think about, I have to go examine
like
30 teams plus teams. It's awful good. And, you know, they're both
surprisingly good, I think. I mean, we just don't focus on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, they are. These are pros. They're not perfect. You know, obviously guys can score against them, but White, particularly, that this shot block thing is just blows my mind, you know, with him. What he's done this year with blocking shots out of the position, out of the guard position. But no, it's good. They're in good hands. Obviously, I don't know that there's a better defensive duo in the backcourt in the league.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Robert, you have been on the Knicks trade. Oh. That trade that they made, oh. You were the only one that was on it. They won five in a row.
They've not just won five in a row, Gary. The margins of victory in this order of those five games, 6, 16, 36, 16, 28. They're beating the last, winning the last five games by 20 points a game. And Anunoby, he was last, he was hot. Last night he was hot. He had 23. He's at 17, 11, 11, 9, 23. But, he was obtained because they wanted to improve their defense. And they're getting a bonus with him as a three-point shooter as well. But apparently he didn't even have – he started immediately, by the way. There wasn't even without even a practice. He goes into the lineup. I'm not going to say it's equivalent. But, being historically minded – I'm a history major, being historically minded, first thing I thought of was the most significant in-season trade in the Knick history, which was obtaining Dave DeBuscher a few days before Christmas in 1968 and set in motion a 6-year run of the Knicks winning 2 championships and losing in the finals. And I'm not saying he's going to have that kind of effect, of a Hall of Famer, but it is the most significant instant, shot of adrenaline that the Knicks have had since 1968. By the way, Toronto's happy with the trade on their end. They're happy already. Barrett, Barrett's going home. He's a Canadian. He may even be a Torontonian. I'm not sure about that. But and Quickly, who last year was the favorite son, is well off to a good start with them. They're happy. So, they're both teams are smiling with the, hey, didn't we do a good job? So, yeah, good for them.
All right. Do you put the Knicks in the Orlando OKC category?
Well, if they're going to win them by 20 points again, they've elevated themselves clearly. I think their confidence and their self esteem, that's the word I'm saying, is shot up dramatically in these games. How could it not? And I've said all along, I've always said, I'm not alone. I'm one of the many to say, it's good for the league to have the Knicks good.
Knicks are good. Of course.
In any sport, it's good. But it's good, and it's particularly good in the NBA because New York is a polarizing entity in all things. So now you're going to have people that, that can go hate the Knicks, but they're going to watch them to hate them as well as the people. There is no more loyal. Maybe you can give me a couple of equals, but there's no more loyal fandom than the Knicks, who have suffered, now for a long time. One playoff victory since 1999, one playoff series, I think. Whatever it is, it's bad. And they keep coming, spending that money, and it's money. They keep coming, and God love them. So they deserve something good to root for. I'll tell you this. In all my experience, there was nothing quite. It was a special flavor about it. The most interesting rivalry and moments to go to the Boston Garden in all my time were the early 70s when the Knicks were good and the Celtics were good, and this Garden wasn't selling out every night in those days, and the Knicks fans. You would have at least 1/3 of the building would be Knicks fans, because there were all these New York college kids that from BU and Northeastern and BC
and Jersey
and were going to the cheer for the Knicks, and it was like a college atmosphere. It was just electric. It was wonderful. Anyway, I welcome the Knicks into the hunt. Okay, I welcome them into the hunt.
So, are the Knicks your favorite visiting team since you've been covering the Celtics?
That's a very good question. The Philly rivalry was great, and the Bird,
Boston
3-year and Dr. J, and certainly Game 7 and 81 was, I say, the most emotional game I've ever covered in all those years, and nothing quite like it. That was good. The Lakers, of course.
Oh, Lakers, so, right?
But I don't want people to forget that. People know, they associate, because now so much time has elapsed since the Knicks have been, whereas people are more willing to remember, there's more people can remember when the Celtics and the Lakers were the item. So they're in there. It was good. I don't want people, you know, I want people to know how great that was. And it would be cool if we could ever, well, you're not going to have that kind of atmosphere because now they Celtics sell out. They don't, those tickets aren't available that were available 50 years ago. But you still would have a real buzz if the Knicks were good.
Yeah, but whenever you have Boston, New York, it's good for business.
Yeah, it is. And that's, it's good for the league to have New York good and anything. So this is good. Now, we'll see if this is sustainable. But once again, Brunson and continues to, you know, prove that he's an all-star. And Randall, there's such controversy about Randall, but boy, some nights he's a beast.
What do you think Tibbs is doing right?
Well, he's always been a good, you know, defensive coach. I just think they've got enough. They've accumulated a better roster. Period. He's. I don't think he's changed too much in any way. He's going to do it his way, and you know, he's a hard nosed, relentless, defensive oriented guy. But he's got a long history now, man. He's come a long way since the Salem State days, I'll tell you that. So,
do you remember him from Salem State?
No, I learned about him after the fact. I did Harvard a little, not much, but you know, I got to know him a little bit when he was here, and it is much more interesting guy than people. You know, people put him in a stereotypical, you know, box. He's just a lifer. He should sleep on a couch in the
right.
And he didn't mind projecting that image, but there's more to him than that. He's a good person.
Yeah, he's a very good person. I liked him when he was with the Celtics, and I like the fact that he's finding success. And it seems to me the Knicks like to play for him.
Yep.
Well, that's the thing, you know, because guys, you know, I was just wondering if you learned a little bit, you know, like Larry said, I mean, he was in Chicago for a while and ended up with the Knicks. You know, Bird said 3 years, people are done listening to me. That's the biggest thing with the NBA coach. You know, you can be a hard ass, but man, you cannot burn out. You cannot burn these guys out.
Well, you know,
and
that
he
was
hasn't done it.
That was, you know, that became the Bill Fitch MO, you know, it wasn't.
Oh, really? I know. Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking earlier about people person, you know, he didn't bother too much with that. You know, And him was about the X's and O's. And I mean, I'm saying he was a bad person. I liked him. We got along.
I know.
Great.
We got along great,
but you know, that he wore him out. And I insisted by 1983, the only guy of consequence, he ended a bench, didn't matter, but the only guy of consequence who hadn't tuned him out was Larry. And there were ding dong, the witch is dead was the feeling when he left. Oh, yeah. And they got KC, whom they all loved.
Right.
Everybody loved KC. And you know, and Kumbaya, and, you know, guess what? Two rings in 3 years. And KC definitely gets credit for that. And the fact that he didn't know what to do with the 87 team when he needed to play kids, he has to take the blame for that. So anyway.
Right. Yeah. Or the great story is Larry starts to talk. KC says, "Hang on, Larry, I'm the coach here. Do what Larry says." I love that story.
That's great.
Before we let you go, during our conversations, I always love to go down memory lane. You mentioned like the Siegfried and the different personalities on that team. Yep. That was coached by Russell.
Yes.
Who had, whenever I think about that crew, I always think of like John Havlicek, who was my favorite player of all time. He was my hero. I worshiped him. But I always remember that like John had to have hangers hung, I was told, like in a certain way. Like he, you know, and then, you know, in that, then you had another guy like Cowens, who was like just, you know, a wreck. Yeah, I know. But like, who is the most intriguing personality of that group?
Of that group?
Yeah.
That, you know, that's a very good question. And I think Satch might be the answer. Yeah, my everlasting image, two things. He kept the adhesive tape industry in business all by himself. He famously had the most heavily taped ankles in history of mankind. I saw it. I mean, it was just couldn't believe. The other thing is, on the road, he did always reading on the road because he had so much going on with business opportunities at home. He didn't have time for it. But my everlasting image of Satch is while he's getting taped, is reading a paperback on the training table, and he read incessantly on the plane. And took his book right into the locker room and read while I was getting taped, read before the game. And you know, an erudite, and of course, a radio announcer voice, such, you know.
Oh, yeah. Professorial.
Very erudite man, professorial, whatever word you do it, cerebral, but great sense of humor, and as well, just a class, and just a warm, embracing person. Yeah, so he might be the answer to that in that group. The wacko, you know, the high wire. It was once said of someone else in baseball that he makes coffee nervous. Well, that would have been Larry Siegfried. Siggy was a high wire guy, you know, and of course John was Mr. Unflappable. So the answer to that, I would say, is Satch.
Yeah, that's a great answer, and it's also you know, if you did a comparison of the players from the 60s, 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s, because Tommy made a lot of money as an insurance guy.
Oh, yeah.
I think John got into the candy business. A lot of guys had other jobs. I mean, I remember the great Rico Petrocelli telling me that, you know, he was pumping gas in the off season because he bought a gas station.
I remember that happening. Listen.
Yeah.
He briefly got into the fast food business.
Yeah. And then Rico told me one time, God, I love that guy. He people didn't know, but it was so cold out. And this was back when you had people coming out and pumping your gas. He had a ski mask on and he's out like pumping gas, you know, how can I help you? You know,
Ramsey got into funeral homes, I believe, or nursing homes.
Right.
Nursing homes.
Now you do have players.
Andre Dawson's into funeral homes.
Yeah. When you have players like today, like LeBron, who's in the movies, you know, or things like that. But that's what they're interested in. They don't need the money. I think what made players interesting, they needed the money. They needed a second job.
Kuzin had a gas station. He needed Kuzin in the back early 50s. And Sharman, they got into the business there briefly there. Oh, yeah, they all needed a job. And baseball, too. Famous, they all needed to get jobs and in the offseason. And in the football, Johnny Unitas supposedly laid the floors for about half his team in the offseason.
Right.
And you know, that's what I'm, you know, you read. So, the world is so entirely and utterly different in so many ways, you know, and the famous thing in the playoffs would come and Ramsey would supposedly write $5,000 on the blackboard, this or whatever the sum would be, what their share would be if they won. And you know, that was the incentive supposed to carry them through the playoffs. And they could use that money. You know, there wasn't any joke about it.
$5,000 in 65, 66, whatever.
So yeah, that's the world they came from. And I keep reminding people that when I covered the team in the early 70s, that they all parked at the Hilton and got the van over. There was the Hilton, let them park there when they're going on a trip. So I saved the parking fee at Logan, which was $5.
And, right. Yeah.
Well, there was $5 they didn't have to spend, and it was not a joke.
It's a different. And I think
I had to pay the $5, but the
you know, now you know, athletes. Sometimes you're a and I'm not saying one way is better than the other. It's just now professional athletes, and they make a lot of money, and they deserve every dime. But they're kind of like it's about being that player, that persona all year round.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's you can have point. Other jobs, you know, you have other interests and other investments, but, you know, if
that's
you're
a very good point.
You know, like Tommy Heinsohn was playing today, he would be making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he'd be making, I don't know, whatever. He'd have $100 million contract or whatever. And he'd be Tommy Heinsohn year round. He wouldn't be Tommy Heinsohn insurance salesman.
Well, you know what? It's the, I guess the word we're seeking is brand. You become a brand.
You become a brand.
And you're right. And that's 12 months. That's 24/7, 365. You're a brand.
And even like Magic. Like Magic got involved and did very well business-wise. But I think that Magic's brand enabled that business to succeed. It was like Magic, I didn't have to get in the business to make money. The business brings me in because they need me as a brand.
No, very good point. Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Bob, I love these chats. Brandon, I got to go get water out of my basement.
I'm going to check mine, but I'm usually pretty lucky there. Thanks.
Good for you. All right. Until next week, Mr. Ryan.
So long.
All right. Listen, FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. The NFL regular season wrapping up. Hello, playoffs. Time to get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet.